Good evening. It's good to see everybody back this evening. Let me do a little lesson, kind of as a follow-on to this morning's lesson, the sermon I did this morning on working out your own salvation. And the whole point of that lesson was talking about that we do have free will as Christians, but we have free will to do what God wants, but we still have to decide what to do, right? Every day, we got to decide what to do. And we got to make a lot of choices. So I thought this lesson would go well with it. This is a lesson on priorities. So like we said this morning, life is full of choices. We have free will. That means we have to choose. No one's going to come and tell us everything. You got to choose. What are you going to do? How do you make those choices? What are the principles that guide your choices? That's what we're going to talk about. That's what priorities are. So it's a rather brief lesson. It's not a really long, extensive lesson, but we're going to look at some of the guidelines, some of the principles for priorities that are in the Bible. The first one is found in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. And it says, prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Now this is talking about somebody who gets a piece of land and they moved into this area. And it says, get your field ready to work. Get your plants in the ground. Then you can take time and build your house and worry about comfort. Right? You work first and you worry about rest later. And later on in verse 30, he talks about the problem of somebody who doesn't take this to heart. I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So this is a principle in setting priorities for life. Focus on your business. Take care of business before you worry about pleasure and enjoyment and rest. Make sure you take care of things. You take care of your family, you take care of your job, you take care of the chores that need to get done before you worry about taking it easy. And that's just an example. There's going to be some collections of these things. A lot of this is based on the concept of, at least in the Old Testament, of something called first fruits. And the first fruits were what the Israelites, when they came into the land, when they came into the promised land, they were commanded by God that every year when they got their crop or they had their new batch of lambs born or whatever, that they would take the first of them and bring them and dedicate them to God. And there's a principle in that that we can apply today too. So we're going to look at some examples of that. So in Exodus 24, verse 19, it says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of your God. It says the first of your first fruits. When you're blessed, you don't say, well, I'm going to do this and that. And I'm going to have a good time and I'm going to take care of something else. I need to pay some bills or do whatever. And then if I have any left over, I'll give it to God and thank God. That's not the principle being shown here. The principle being shown here is when you are blessed, the first thing on your mind ought to be, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. And I need to give thanks to God and give back to God. In number 16, it talks about a little bit more too. Verse 17, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. A heave offering was where they'd put bread in a basket and they wouldn't burn it like they would the lambs or something like that. They would have the priest, it's also called a wave offering. They would wave it before the altar, but they wouldn't destroy it. But by waving it there over the altar, that's what made it holy, and it was an offering. So he says, offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering of the threshing floor, so you shall offer it up. Of the first of your ground meal, you shall give it to the Lord, a heave offering throughout your generations. Now, this is interesting because he's talking about these are farmers, right? He's talking to a farmer who just had wheat or barley or some sort of oats or some sort of grain, and he says, when you get your crop, you take the very first part of it and you dedicate it to God. You give it to God, and the reason you do it is to recognize God's blessings. But notice he says, You shall give it to the Lord throughout your generations. This is not something you do once and done. Deuteronomy 26. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it before the altar to the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish. And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terror, with many signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. Now, these are the detailed instructions for the Israelite when they come into the land flowing with milk and honey. They weren't there yet. This is Moses teaching them out in the desert when they're marching around the desert, okay? Because they rebelled against God. He says, this is what you do when you come into the land. He says, you take some of the best, you take the produce of your land, and you take it, the first of your produce, not just any of it, the first of it, you take it to the priest, he's going to put it in the basket, put it by the altar, and then you're supposed to say these things. And you saw that was a little history lesson of the Jews, wasn't it? My father was a Syrian. He's talking about Jacob. And he was perishing. And he brought, and we went down to Egypt because there was bread there. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? And then we became a great nation down there, but the Egyptians turned on us and turned us into slaves. And then God brought us out with great signs and wonders and has brought us to this land flowing with milk and honey. And I am here to testify that here's the milk and honey. Not the milk and honey directly, but here's the rich blessings that God has given me. And notice the point, he says. He says here, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. So this is one of the reasons that you think about priorities about giving to God first is a way of recognizing the blessings and the promises that God has kept. One of the things that people think sometimes about giving, and this isn't really a lesson about giving, but one of the things people think about giving sometimes is that, you know, you do whatever you're going to do and then you have some left over and you decide to give some. Well, this turns that upside down. You give to God first. And why? Why do you sacrifice? What's a sacrifice about? You ever wonder? You know, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament, right? They had animals, they had bread, they had all kinds of stuff, and they gave money, and they gave all kinds of stuff. A sacrifice is you denying yourself the benefit of whatever that sacrifice has in it, the lamb or the bread or who knows what. What are you saying when you do that? You're saying, I trust God to provide for me. I don't have to trust myself. I've got it right here in my hands. I can keep it, man. I can feed off of this thing for probably a week. No, I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to, because he gave it to me in the first place, and I'm going to trust that if I need more, he'll give me more. That's the nature of giving. The nature of giving is thanking God, recognizing his blessings, but also saying, I'm trusting you, God, and not my bank account. I'm trusting you. All right, Ezekiel 44, verse 28. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. He's talking about the Levites. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to rest on your house. Now, he's talking about the commandments to the priest. The Levites didn't get an inheritance. They didn't get any land. All the other tribes got land. The Levites got a few towns. And God said, they're supposed to eat of what is given at the temple. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. But notice he says, not just the first. First fruits is all about first, right? But notice what he says. The best of all first fruits. Not just the first, but the best of the first. And then notice what he says. You shall give you, when he's talking to the rest of us, them who weren't priests, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal and your sacrifices to cause a blessing to rest on your house. When you give to God, when you have your priorities straight, and this isn't just money, you know, it's what you're doing in your life. When you give your life to God, he's going to bless you. Now, you can look at the other side of it too. There's plenty of examples of this, but we're going to look at one in Haggai. So in Haggai and Zechariah were written about the same time, and Nehemiah and those books were there, and this was written after the Babylonian captivity when they came back and they hadn't built the temple yet. And in fact, it had been 20 years and they hadn't built the temple yet. So this is what Haggai says. In the second year, verse 1, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now remember, the temple was destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians. This is about 90 years prior to when he's telling them this. They had come back after 70 years. God had kept his promise to bring them back out of captivity. But yet they were still waiting after 20 years and hadn't repaired the temple. They were building their own fancy houses, but they weren't taking care of business. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Then he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you will withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. So this is what happens when you don't take care of business. You don't have your priorities straight. You won't be blessed. So you get it, it's really, really clear. You follow your priorities based on God's priorities, you're going to be blessed. If you don't follow God's priorities, you're not going to be blessed. It's real simple. Let's look at the New Testament. Matthew 6:31-33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There's your top priority, right there, from the words of Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So what are other top commands, might you say? There are top priorities for us to think about as Christians. Mark 12:28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked them, which is the greatest command, the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So there's a couple more principles of priority. You love God first, and then you love others. You love your neighbor as yourself. Those are your priorities when you're making decisions and deciding what to do. And of course, Jesus says, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Is that a priority? Yep. Keeping the commandments of God are a priority, which means you have to know what they are. That's why we study. In Luke 9 is another set of principles and priorities. Verse 59. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So, when it comes to doing the works of God and your family, what should your priority be? He says it very plainly, right? "Oh, I need to, God, I know I want to serve you. I love you and I want to serve you, but you know, I can't do it now. I've got to go take care of my family for a while. I'll see you in 6 months." That's not what he's talking about. That's not the priorities we should have. That's not the principle we should operate on. Here's another one, Matthew 7, verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove that plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now here's a great principle, a way of making decisions. If you have something that you feel like needs corrected in others, we are told to do that, by the way. You know, we're told to tell, if we see someone sinning, to tell them to stop doing it and repent. But what does it say we need to think of first? What's our priority? We need to think of ourselves. Where are we at? What's that plank in my eye that I need to take care of? Again, priorities. Matthew 5, 21. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gifts." You know, this is a principle that obedience is more important than gifts and sacrifices. You know, there's another place in the Old Testament where it says that. It says, "I don't want your sacrifices if your heart's not in it." So in one place he says, "Stop bringing me meaningless, worthless offerings. Because when you bring them, you're just bringing a piece of meat and throwing it on the fire in front of me. You're not bringing your heart." Obedience is more important. A good priority. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we have hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Now, the situation here, he's talking about Macedonia. Macedonia is in the northern part of Greece, and they were really poor folk, really, really poor. And Paul had been telling the people, all the churches in Greece, about the famine that was in Judea. And he was making collections to bring back to take care of the poor Christians who were starving in Judea, in Jerusalem. And when the Macedonians heard of it, they said, "Oh, Paul, we're going to get something together. We're going to send something." And everybody's going, "Man, these people are poor as dirt. What could they do?" And then all of a sudden they show up with a gift. And Paul says it's way beyond their ability. Way beyond their ability. But notice what he said. He said, "But first they gave themselves to the Lord." There's your priority. There's your principle. You want it, you want to do right by God? Give yourself first to the Lord. So Colossians 3, verse 17, we mentioned it this morning, is kind of the last verse we're going to look at. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Think about it when you do stuff, when you make decisions. You know, some of us go through long periods of our life without a lot of big decisions. You know, we kind of made our decisions and we're kind of cruising along in life. you know, you got to figure out, am I going to have hamburgers or hot dogs, you know, but it's not, am I going to get married? Am I going to move across the country? Am I going to change jobs? Am I going to retire? Am I going to have children? Or whatever that might be, right? Big decisions. But do you think about your decisions? Do you ask yourself, can I do this in the name of the Lord? Can I do this in the name of the Lord? Can I do it with God's blessing and approval and by his authority? That's a great principle and a great priority. So if we look back over these real quickly, just to summarize, take care of business before pleasure. When you're blessed, think about God first. Remember the blessings and never forget all the blessings he's given you. Even though you thanked him before, thank him again. Remember the promises that he's made and kept and delivered on. Remember that not just giving some of your things, but giving the best is what God expects. And that if you procrastinate and you focus on yourself, you're not going to be blessed. Our top goal, seek first the kingdom of God. Can you say that about everything you're doing? Is this helping you get closer to the kingdom of God? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourself. And focusing on God even above our family, even above ourselves. And that obedience is better than sacrifice. But that we have to give ourselves first. Keep those principles in mind. God will help us make good decisions. You know, all this comes from God's word. The Bible tells us we have everything we need in the Bible for life and godliness. If you want to be godly, the Bible will tell you how to do it. If you don't know what it says, spend time in it. If you got questions, ask somebody. Ask Harold or I, or ask one of the people who've been a Christian for a long time. Let's study about it. Let's go look at it. Let's find out what God says. You got a big decision you're wondering about? Man, let's talk about it. Let's see what God has to say about it. Let's pray together about it. So in all things, let's make God's way the priority. If you have any needs tonight, I think everybody here has obeyed the gospel. That's such a nice thing to be able to say, that everybody here has obeyed the gospel. But you know, as Christians, we still need our brothers and sisters to pray for us. We still need to strengthen one another, and we still sin. So if you have any needs, you can come forward as we stand and sing.